In the race for the White House this week, Hillary Clinton swept all five Democratic presidential primaries after Bernie Sanders conceded Missouri. On the GOP side, Missouri is still too close to call, but Donald Trump won everything else except for Ohio. Marco Rubio dropped out of the race. Conservatives met to try to stop Trump from winning the nomination, and candidates started sounding like they really needed some throat lozenges.
Unlike our quartet, they somehow never flag, and you know what that means. Time for our weekly political roundtable.
Here and now, 2016.
And joining us, Julie Mason, host of The Press Pool on Sirius XM. Julie, you know you have to sing before you go.
is that the rule? Yes. That's a new rule. I did not agree to that rule.
And on key as well.
Jesse already knows that. Jesse Holland, manager of the AP Politics social media accounts. Hi to you as well.
How are you doing today?
Oh, just fine. And so is Bernie Sanders. He made some news last night. He feels he's going to go all the way to the convention. Let's start there. He did, as Magna said, lose all the primaries this week to Hillary Clinton. And there's also that New York Times story that said President Obama met with donors behind closed doors and said that Bernie should step down and Democrats should rally behind Hillary Clinton, however flawed a candidate she might be. But here is Bernie Sanders on the Rachel Maddow Show last night.
We think if we come into the convention in July in Philadelphia, having won a whole lot of delegates, having a whole lot of momentum behind us, and most importantly, perhaps, being the candidate who is most likely to defeat Donald Trump, we think that some of these superdelegates who have now supported Hillary Clinton can come over to us.
And Jesse Holland, today's New York Times does the math and says he could be right. Your thoughts?
Well, we're getting into part of the primary calendar, which does give him a good chance. We started talking about going out west to Arizona and Washington, and then Wisconsin, New York, and Pennsylvania. Those states do actually offer him an opportunity because it's on the East Coast, those are really blue-collar states, and he could really pick up some momentum there. And out west, he actually also has a chance with the more independent-minded Democratic voters out west. He has a chance in those states. But you have to keep in mind, he has a lot of ground to catch up to match Hillary Clinton in both pledged and superdelegates. So he still has a really tough road to hoe, but these next few states will let him know whether he actually has a chance.
Well, Julie Mason, I have been saying for months now that there's going to be two floor fights, and Jeremy Hobson makes complete fun of me. But is there a possibility that Bernie Sanders gets there and doesn't have the amount to clinch it, but neither does Hillary Clinton, and somehow on the floor of the convention he convinces those superdelegates, party officials and such, who aren't pledged, that have committed to Hillary but can change their minds, he convinces them to do that?
No, I really don't see that. These superdelegates are superdelegates because they're party officials and they're elected officials. And what they see and what they know is that part of what Bernie Sanders is selling is a fake reality. They've been clinging to this idea of the head-to-head matchups, and he's the only one who can defeat these Republicans. But that's only because no one's come after him. The negative campaigning against Bernie Sanders has not even begun. Mm-hmm. When Republicans are done with him, all that are going to be left are shreds of socialist rhetoric.
I mean, they're just
they're going to kill him.
You just took all the air out of the Bernie Sanders balloons
right
there.
I know.
And they're going to come after you on Twitter.
They're all going to come after me on Twitter.
You know, I also wanted,
I wanted to just give Robin some props for starting with Bernie Sanders here, because we didn't want to start with Trump for 1 week. But but Sanders himself, in that cut that we mentioned Donald Trump's name. So he gets in there anyway. So let's turn now to Donald Trump, because, on Wednesday on CNN, as everyone's been talking about, Trump predicted that there could be riots if he doesn't win the nomination this summer. Let me just have him say what he said.
I don't think you can say that we don't get it automatically. I think you'd have riots.
Okay, so there's been a lot of talk about this, Julie. Let me just get your thoughts on the import, if there is any, to what he said.
Well, it's terrible. It's terrible to forecast riots in politics, and there's a lot of bad things happening. The problem for Donald Trump right now is he's trying to rewrite the rules, and he's trying to say, well, if I get a majority of the delegates, they ought to just give it to me outright. But the problem is you have to get to 1237, and if you don't get to 1237, you might as well get there with one. You know, that's not the rule. So there actually could be a floor fight, and that's what Republicans in Washington increasingly panicked, increasingly, like, out of their minds with worry. That is what they are now banking on. a floor fight.
Well, but Jesse Holland talked about that because there are rules committees, right? And we understand this. And they sometimes are rewriting them even as the convention is starting. Doesn't Donald Trump have a point, not about threatening violence, but, you know, if he if his people get there, and maybe many of them are new to politics as well, which we know to be true about his followers, and they don't understand that, you know, guess what? They can rewrite the rules even as you get to the convention. It's not going to go over well.
Well, of course it's not going to go over well, because Donald Trump wants to be the winner, and he wants to take any path he can find to be the winner. But they all agreed to follow the rules, and the rules say you have to reach a certain amount of delegates. And if he doesn't make it to that magic number, he's not going to be the automatic nominee of the Republican Party, and there will be a floor fight. Now, one of the things we have to keep in mind is that the so-called Republican establishment right now wants a floor fight. They don't want Donald Trump to be the nominee. So they're doing whatever they can to make sure it's a contested convention so they can actually hash this out at the Republican National Convention. Of course, Donald Trump doesn't want that, because that puts him in an arena where he doesn't have the advantage.
Right.
Out in the population, in the public, in the GOP core, he has the advantage. When it comes to Cleveland, he won't. So he wants – that was the first foray of the floor fight right there, when he said there might be riots.
Well, in fact, as you mentioned, for example, House Majority Leader Paul Ryan said that the Republican Party is bracing for potentially contested convention. And here is Lindsey Graham, who weighed in on Donald Trump and on Ted Cruz, in fact, this week. Here he was on CNN just yesterday.
I think Mr. Trump is not a Republican. I don't think he's a conservative. I think his campaign's built on xenophobia, race baiting, and religious bigotry. I think he'd be a disaster for our party. And as Senator Cruz would not be my first choice, I think he is a Republican conservative who I could support.
What?
Yeah, I mean,
that's quite an endorsement there, isn't it?
I mean, he's had some choice and kind of difficult words for Cruz, but in the past, so why now this, Julie?
Because the alternative is so unthinkable to Lindsey Graham and so many others. And I don't see the whole party lining up behind Ted Cruz. He's not a great choice for them. They're hoping for someone like Paul Ryan, someone that they can rally around that would be acceptable to the party to get into the race somehow.
Oh, well, we will see what happens there. But, I mean, we have to tell people who may not have remembered what Lindsey Graham said. I mean, in the past, he said about Ted Cruz that he – this is terrible. It's a terrible thing to say.
That's why I couldn't say it.
Yeah, that he could be shot on the Senate floor and you'd have a hard time, you know, convicting anybody of doing that. So all these words are going to be parts of ad campaigns down the road. But let's take a look at some of that, because Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are starting to take aim at each other. Hillary Clinton took a shot at Donald Trump in her victory speech on Tuesday night. Let's just listen to that.
Our commander-in-chief has to be able to defend our country, not embarrass it.
But the Clinton-Trump ad war is starting up. The Trump campaign came out with an anti-Clinton video this week that featured the sound of Hillary Clinton barking like a dog. But then the anti-Trump super PAC that's backed by Republicans came out with an ad featuring women reciting his words.
Bimbo, dog, fat pig. Real quotes from Donald Trump about women. A person who is very flat-chested is very hard to be a 10.
I'd look her right in that fat, ugly face.
So talk a little bit, Julie, about this, about the fact that everything we're hearing in the past few months is going to start being thrown back at us in these ad campaigns.
This upcoming battle, if it is Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, and it looks like it will be, it is going to be so much scorched earth. I mean, forget appealing to the angels of our better nature and giving Americans something to feel hopeful and optimistic about. This is going to be, I think, the worst we've ever seen in terms of negative campaigning.
Yeah. Well, and what about some of the words that Clinton might want to take back? She was asked how she'd sell herself to poor white voters. More inclined to vote for someone else. And this was part of her answer.
Because we're going to put a lot of coal miners and coal companies out of business.
Jesse.
Wow. Yeah. Well, one of the things that we're going to see if Donald Trump is the Republican nominee and Hillary Clinton the Democratic nominee, we're going to see a lot of words from the past coming back up. Both of those can, both Trump and Clinton have high negatives for each one in their own party and each one in the opposite party. So, and they've been in the public eye for so long, you can find things going back on either one of them for years. And I'm sure that we'll see it over and over and over if those two are the face each other in the final nominations.
Yeah. Well, in the last couple seconds that we have, anyone care to give us their predictions for next week?
I gave up trying to predict this race a long time ago.
I'll say this. Here's something to keep in mind. Donald Trump is getting about 37% of the Republican vote. So even though we have this perception that he's winning everything, he's sort of marauding toward the convention, toward the nomination, he doesn't have very strong support in the Republican Party. He's actually a very weak candidate.
Oh, okay. We'll check you back with those words in a few months. But that is what people are saying. I mean, only 18% of Republicans are voting in the primaries. And Jesse, you've already said that. I mean, some people are saying that Bernie Sanders could run the table in the next few primaries.
He could, but keep in mind, in the end, it's going to be those superdelegates at the convention that are going to make that decision.
Hmm. And just remember that we're all using the phrase run the table because Donald Trump started it. Jesse Holland, manager of the AP Politics social media accounts, Julie Mason, host of the Press Pool on Sirius XM. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.